Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
There are transitions, seasons, and their change that we're going through. You have to go through transitions. Transitions are a part of life. They're a part of the seasons of life. They're a part of the development of life. When you read the 23rd Psalm, and it gives the picture of God relating to his children as a shepherd to sheep, if you read the 23rd Psalm and you study it, you see that what's really happening there is the shepherd is leading his sheep through various seasons. The table that's prepared is a season. That's where the shepherd would lead his sheep to in the summer months. A table was not necessarily, well, in the 23rd Psalm, the table is not a piece of furniture. It speaks of a table or a piece of furniture, but a table for a shepherd is a flat mountain range that a shepherd would lead his sheep to in the summer months because it was high and lifted up. It was a great place to graze. He would go there ahead of time, turn over every rock, make sure there were no snakes, pulled up every poisonous weed. It was a place prepared, a place of freedom and abundance for his sheep. But when you get to the end of the 23rd Psalm, you find that the sheep are in they're back home. They're in the fold. They're in the stall. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So they're back. But it's a story of life. It speaks of seasons all the way to the end that I will not fear even if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. It speaks of seasons and God's faithfulness in every season. The changing of seasons in our life are transitional. We go through these transitions as our seasons change. And here's what I want you to get as we get into the meat of this. Every transition in life is met with the spirit of fear. Anytime you enter into something new, there's going to always be a little anxiety, a little fear. You might, you're bold and say, Pastor, I have no fear. Bless your heart. All right, to the rest of us, transitions are met with the spirit of fear. And it takes courage to take that leap. It takes courage to make it through that transition to that place that God has ordained. And a beautiful example of this that we're going to be studying is the children of Israel as God leads them as a shepherd through the wilderness and shows them his faithfulness. And then they get right there to the River Jordan and he's ready to lead them into the land of promise. And yet there's only two that had the courage to go in and take the land, Joshua and Caleb. And when you look at the transition between the children of Israel being in the wilderness and entering into the land of promise, when you study that transition literally in Scripture, there's one word as you study it from Deuteronomy 31 all the way to Joshua, throughout the book of Joshua, particularly chapter 1 and 2, you see this word that keeps coming up again, up and up again. Courage, courage, courage. It is what I was reading, it's what I was seeing that led to this series. What was man, as the children of Israel were in this transition to enter into God's promise, God again and again said, you're gonna need courage, you're gonna need courage. Faith has led you this far, but if you're gonna take this land of promise, if you're gonna make it through this transition, you're gonna need courage. Now, I read to you before the prayer here in Deuteronomy 30, verse number 19, and the reason I read that is because I want you to see the power of a decision. Because ultimately, that's what God is waiting for, is a decision. That's what the enemy is waiting for, is a decision. Because decision opens the door to reality. And there are many people that have come to a certain place in life that right decisions have led you to, that now one bad decision can cause a U-turn and you miss what every previous decision has led you to. Now, let me just give you an example of this transition and we're gonna move into something and we're gonna come back, Lord willing. But I wanna show you here for an example in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. So let's come to chapter 31. Here's God dealing with the children of Israel about the land of promise and going over Jordan. If you look at that in verses 1 and 2, you'll see he's talking about this transition and who would cross Jordan. Now, when you come down to verse number 6, he says this, be strong and of a good courage. Now, notice how the Bible defines things. I love the Word of God. It defines words for you. Notice, he says, be strong and of good courage. You got a comma. Now he's about to explain what it means to have courage in the next two words. Read them. Fear not. See, to have courage means I'm not going to be afraid. If faith leads me to a place that fear talks me back out of, I don't have courage. See, faith can lead you to a place that fear will talk you out of. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what I just said? Faith can lead you to a place that fear can talk you out of. So I need to, if faith has led me to this point, I need courage now in the face of making that transition in my life so that fear doesn't talk me out of the place faith led me to. So he said, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Don't be afraid. Move on forward. The Lord's not going to let you down. That's what he's saying here in Deuteronomy. Watch this in verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua, because he's the one that's going to end up leading the children of Israel over Jordan into the land of promise. And Moses called unto him Joshua. By the way, and Joshua is the same Hebrew name as Jesus. Jesus' name is Yahshua. There's no J in Hebrew. Yahshua would be Joshua, and it's the same name of Jesus, and it means God saves. So Joshua or Yahshua, Yah, God, Shua, saves, Yahshua, Joshua is a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. Moses could not get the children of Israel into the land of promise. He got them out of bondage. He got them through the wilderness, but he didn't get them into the promised land. It's interesting how God's wisdom works. The lawgiver could not get them into the land of promise. It had to be Joshua, type of Christ, a type of grace. Come on, somebody. I can obey every commandment of God, but that still won't give me eternal life without Yahshua. Well, that's deep right there, y'all. Come on. Let me move on. Verse 7, and Moses called unto him Joshua and said unto him, in sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So there's the second time we see, okay, you're going to need courage. Come over a few pages to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. So now God's going to raise up this servant of Moses, Joshua, to lead the children into the land of promise. And notice what the Lord is going to say to Joshua. And I'm praying that as you hear this series each week, that you're getting a visual picture of the transition that you're in life. Where's God calling you? What's he calling you to do? What acts of faith is he telling you to step out on? If you'll think about it, and I don't want to rush this because it'd be easy for me to rush it because I'm excited. You know, if I don't make heaven, it's because I ran past it. That's a joke. I know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. But here's the thing. If you really thought about it and were honest with yourself, there's likely a time or two in your life that faith was leading you to do something that when you got to that very moment, when it was crunch time, fear talked you back out of it. I mean, you got all the way there and you're like, oh. Anybody, lift your hand if you can tell, okay, that's all of you, all right. Amen, made my point. Well, and when you do that, now you never know. Now you'll never know what would have happened. Now you'll never know had you went ahead and made that step. You'll never know what would have happened. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? So I saw, and then you live your whole life going, man, I was right there. What would have happened if I'd have just made that step in faith? Well, I don't want that happening to you no more. So we're going to talk about courage so that when the Lord gives you faith for something and you're being led by faith and you're being moved by faith, you don't get right there at crunch time and then allow fear to talk you back out of it. And I'm going to show you a biblical example of this here in just a few minutes. It's going to stir this whole place up. Now watch this in Joshua chapter number 1, and we'll see it in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And there are some things that may even be good things in your past that are now dead. We're bad about trying to give mouth to mouth to something that's dead. And the children of Israel were so hooked on Moses that God had to hide his burial spot so they wouldn't dig up his bones and worship him. So God came in and said, look, let me just break it down. And God wasn't real sensitive. He didn't say Moses has passed away, but he was met, you know, with a chariot and angels, and he's in the sweet bye-bye. No, he said Moses dead. I mean, he just straight up, he gone. Moses, my servant, is dead. In every transition in life, you have to know what's dead. You have to know what's over. You have to know what you've come from, what's beyond, what chapter's closed. That chapter's closed. I can't do anything about that. That one's done. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no man having his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. There's some things in our life we just can't look back on. They're dead. There are a lot of people that will never experience God's breakthrough in their life because they're never able to let go of something that's dead. So he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Arise. Don't never simplify any word in the Bible because every word is packed with revelation knowledge. Arise means change your position and posture. See, you can tell somebody they're standing to arise. And they say, what are you talking about? I'm already standing. Yeah, but your posture, even though you're standing, your posture does not communicate movement. Oh, my soul. Arise means you have to change your mental and physical and spiritual posture. He says, arise. Notice the wording. He said, Moses is dead, now arise. That means this is over, arise. This is done, arise. This is behind you, now you gotta arise. You can't, notice how these two came together. Moses is dead, arise. Because there's too many people that miss years of their life over something that died. You say, man, what are you doing right now in your life? Oh, man, I'm trying to get over something. Well, what happened? Oh, 8 months ago. Wait a minute, 8 months ago. You in an eight-month rut? But now we're laughing, but there are some people that spend years not being able to get over something that cannot be undone. You cannot go back and change. You have to recognize that's dead. That's behind me. I can't do anything about that. That's in the hands of God now. Arise. Change your position. Change your posture. Don't let what's dead in your life change the way you see the future. Don't let what happened in the past change the way you see the future. There are so many people that are missing their present because they can't get over their past. And if you're not making the most of your present, you are jeopardizing your future. Your future is not in the hands of your past. Your future is in the hands of your present. God, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the plan was not for them to hang out in the wilderness. It was to take them to a land that he had promised Abraham. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And so it was called the promised land because it was land that had been. Y'all are a deep church. You see how you just answered that right there? Come on, somebody. So it was promised land. And when they got there, you know, the only thing that separated them from that promised land was the River Jordan. So crossing Jordan, just like they crossed the Red Sea to come out of Egypt and into the wilderness, crossing Jordan would take them from the wilderness into the land of promise. But that land of promise had been occupied by seven nations, and all seven of those nations were mightier than the children of Israel. But God knew what he was doing. He needed somebody to keep the grass mowed. They didn't own the land. They were just squatters. They were just space holders. Zero is a space holder. They were zeros holding up to heroes. So all God people had to do was go in and take what was theirs And it was in that transition, 40 years of history, they're right there at the land of promise, and fear would grip them. God knew that. Fear would grip them for at least two reasons. Moses, their servant that had led them to this point, was dead, and now they're about to enter into a land that's occupied by seven nations almightier than them. This transition gripped them. But make no mistake about it, they're in a transition. So what transition are you in right now in your life? Are you in a transition of your walk with God? Are you in a transition on your job? Are you in a transition with your family? Are you in a transition? You can see yourself in this verse. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, because of that, you've got to change your position and posture. Arise and go over this Jordan. Thou and all this people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So they were in this transition. But notice how God is going to address what would prevent them from taking the land. So notice what he says to his new leader. We'll start in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Come on, somebody. Look at that word God gave Joshua. He said, look, you served Moses for 40 years, and you know I never failed him. And my faithfulness that you saw in Moses' life is available to you. And just like I never failed Moses, I will never fail you, Joshua. Now notice the wording here in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. There it is again. You'll find the word courage shows up more in relationship to the children of Israel crossing Jordan, entering the land of promise, more than any other episode in the entire Bible. It is a picture of courage. It would take courage if they were going to enter in the promise of God, in promised land, the promise of God. So he says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Watch verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. There's that word again. He said, be of good courage. Now he's saying, you got to be courageous. You got to be strong and you've got to be courageous. When you see an individual that's in a transition in life, and that transition is leading them into anxiety, fear, depression, victim mindset, woe is me, nobody ever had it as bad as me, they lack courage. All right. Amen. Y'all got real quiet. But I know it's not you, because I know you got courage. It would take courage to make it through. Now see, oh, I'm so excited about what's going to come up in this series. Because many times the reason we have fear is that we're afraid of people. We're worried about what somebody's going to say if we make that step. We're worried about what somebody's going to say if we cross that Jordan. When God will open the door, God will make a way out of no way, and you want to step there, but you're like, oh, I can't step there because Johnny might say, Susie might say, oh, I don't know what to do. What are they going to say? See, people bondage will keep you stuck in the wilderness when you belong in the land of promise. You got to have enough courage to let the Lord work all that out and not be caught up with what people say. Now, let me show you an example of everything I've been talking about. Mark 5, you get there, say amen. Amen. And I want to show you an example because I love just open examples in the Word of what I need to apply in my own life. And I want to show this to you. Mark 5, we're going to drop down and look at it. Jesus is going to meet this woman on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And let's see if we can find something out about his daughter. So go down to verse 42, because that's when he gets to the ruler of the synagogue's house. And I want to show you something about the daughter. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. Okay, we can go back. We've established that the ruler of the synagogue's got a daughter that's 12 years old, And now we got a woman that's been sick 12 years. There's nothing by accident in the Bible. I believe everything there is there for a reason. And so it's interesting that this woman's been sick 12 years as long as this daughter's been alive for 12 years. And I just get the picture that the daughter's had 12 good years and all of a sudden now just fell sick. And the woman's had 12 bad years and she is needing Jesus. Isn't it interesting that whether you've just came out of 12 bad years or 12 good years, all folks seem to intersect at Jesus when there's a need. Amen? Man, that's good right there. Glory to God. You don't have to have been going through something for 12 years to turn to Jesus. But hopefully, if you have, you turn to him. We don't know which direction Jesus was heading in when he got off that boat. Let's just say he was going in this direction, and all of a sudden, this man comes to him and says, hey, come to my house, and my daughter shall live. And Jesus said, okay, and so he goes with him. And now, because he's going with Jairus based on his decision of faith, he's going to pass by a woman who's been in a situation for 12 years that needs Jesus. Listen, you never know when your decision for the Lord is actually going to affect somebody else. Woo! We got to get back to the courage, though. And many people are following along, and they're rubbing all up against Jesus. Verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Some of you are sick of being broke. She was sick and broke. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She's at the end. There's no other hope. She's out of money, and her situation has only gotten worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, I got to understand what's going on here. Because this woman, there's more to her than what meets the eye here. Because she's unclean and has had this issue of blood 12 years, according to the law, she cannot go out in public. She cannot go out into the press or crowds of people because she's called unclean. But the man that could make her whole is surrounded by people. People that she's not supposed to be around because she's unclean. So when she saw Jesus out her window pass by, not only did she see the one that could make her whole, but she saw a crowd of people that by law she can't be around. We know she had faith because she said, all I gotta do is touch his mantle. Touch his mantle, the hem of his garment. She was referring to the tallit. It was a mantle that Jewish men wore. That's what she was referring to. The word mantle is the same word in Hebrew as wings, because Jewish men would wear it. It was symbolic of the law. And Malachi already said that when Jesus came, the Son of Righteousness, he would have healing in his wings. He wasn't referring to wings like a bird, because Jesus is not a bird. He's not an eagle. The word wings is the same word mantle in Hebrew. This was a mantle. When she read Malachi 4, it said he would come with healing in his mantle. So she knew the word. She said, all I got to do is get to his mantle, because the word says, if I touch but his mantle, I shall be whole. My point is she had faith. But on this given day, she's got to have more than faith. Because on this day, if her faith is to manifest, she's got to go touch this mantle while the ruler of the synagogue and crowds of people are around the one that could bring her healing. It's going to take courage to say, you know what? If it means my life, if it means I get caught, I put it all on the line. I can lay it all at the feet of Jesus. I got to have courage in this moment.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.